At the end of the last semester, so we finished as much as one can talk about finishing the sugya of Kamlei B'Drabim Yineh, and now we're returning to the topic of the Masechta, of the Perek, which is the question of us. So the Braisa here is going to list several individuals that are not subject to the rules of Kanas, and that's what the discussion of the Gemara is going to focus upon. So let's start by reading. Who is volunteering to read? Thank you very much, Adin. All right, so there are two things that require explanation here. Number one, what are arayos and what are shnios? So you can assume for the moment you know what the arayos are. What are shnios? What's that? I don't mean what the Gemara says. What does the word shnias l'arayas normally mean?
Secondary
arayas. Forgetting about the sugya, when we say shnias l'arayas, what does that mean? The rabbanon, right? The arayas the rabbanon. In other words, you're not allowed to marry a father's sister, a mother's sister, a father's brother's wife. Midaraisa, you are allowed to marry a mother's brother's wife. In other words, eshes achi ha'em is only an issur de rabbanon, shnias. Okay. Okay. Fine. So that's what it normally means. If you want to learn the sugya of shnius, it's one of the more slightly chart-wise confusing sugyos in the second parak of Yevamos. But the din is that these women are asuros midrabanan. Fine. Next, so that's what a shnios are. Now, what is ein lo knas velo pitui? So, what does knas mean? Right. The pshat in the braisa is knas of ones. It's strange. Why is it strange? Because it should have said they don't have ones for pitui, or you don't have knas. Right? Either tell us the scenarios or tell us the din. Right, one or the other. So Tosfos has an explanation which we'll talk about for a little bit. Not right now, but I wanted to talk just briefly about the comment Tosfos is making, because I think it highlights an aspect of what does the word knas mean. Because there are really two different meanings to the word knas, or two different definitions, and that's what I think Tosfos is playing with here. Fine. Next.
A mima enes.
What is a mima enes?
Katana is married off by her, either when she's a Yitzhak of Chayavia or when she's married off by her mother or brother, and she can, when she reaches 12 years old, she can refuse the marriage and that doesn't need again.
One detail needs to be corrected there.
Up until she's
12, not when she's 12. This is not like Ger Katan, where you convert a Ger when he or she is a minor, and then when they become the age of Gil Mitzvos, they're asked whether or not they wish to continue to be Jewish or not, but rather she can be minus up until she, you said 12 years of the day. Why does that make a difference? And if you're doing Dafyomi, that's great, I was not here. Daf is doing the Perek, which is all, Miun comes up a lot in Yevamos, but Dafyomi is now doing the Dafim, the Perek that deals with Miun, and it comes up yesterday's Daf for today's Daf. Why is it that that a Mama Ennis can no longer be Mama Ennis after the age of 12 years of the day? Why can't she be Mama Ennis? Moshe?
Because it was against her will? She didn't really want it?
Nope. If she didn't really want it, then she doesn't even need to do Miyun. Yudi?
The Kiddushin becomes like more completed.
All right, so why do you need Miyun in the first place? After all, the Kiddushin owned Drabbanon. So the Drabbanon made a Kiddushin Drabbanon, and then they instituted Miyun, which, by the way, does Miyun exist at all in Atzorah?
Yeah,
we did speak about it at the beginning of the year. We spoke about the possibility in some of the, in Midrash HaHalacha, that maybe actually Min HaTorah, the Pitui constitutes, particularly because it was Birtzona, Pitui constitutes a marriage, but it can be dissolved by Miun. We raised that possibility. There's one Beferish in the Chilta that says clearly not so, which was that you need to do a separate kiddushin. But one of the simple readings of a source, which the Gemara reworks, which we pointed out, fits in that direction, is the idea that mefata l'chshiyotzi. The onus is no semiyad and mefata l'chshiyotzi. So the question is, Mefata l'chshayotzi, what are you talking about? Mefata doesn't pay the knas when he's motzi. The mefata pays the knas when he's not machnis. That's what Abaye, in fact, that's the way Abaye reads the Mishnah. But we pointed out that the words of the Mishnah, that formulation could perhaps suggest an alternative interpretation, is that the mefata through the act of pitui actually is a quasi-kiddushin, but miun dissolves that. And that's why it's called chashayotzi, because in a certain way he is divorcing. But I'm thinking about actually a totally different kind of paradigm where miun actually dissolves a marriage, a regularly contracted marriage. I don't think I spoke about this. I don't know why at the beginning of the semester. Where does miun dissolve a marriage? A marriage that's been a Torah, that's an ishus ishtaraisa, yeah? Binyamin?
If you won't go.
No, that just is mechayev her to divorce her and not pay ksubim.
Chalitza?
No, that's not a miun, and that's not a marriage daraisa. She's not an ishus ish. There is no ishus at all for a shivcha. But you're getting warmer, not just the room.
What?
What?
No.
There you need yud in order to create the marriage. A goy and a goya. She just gets up and says, I'm not interested anymore in these. That's how you dissolve a marriage for a Ben Noach.
Is that a marriage?
Yes, it's marriage because a Ben Noach is chayv and ishesish.
Does miun go to
cleaning? Yes. Miun. So that's a whole discussion. In other words, it may not require. Look, I'll tell you, it doesn't require based in Bayabas or Ben Noach, but then again, Dina Nefashis of Ben Noach is Erechad Adayin Echad. So, with some achlokas, the beginning of the 13th parak of Yevamos are five machlokos between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about the nature of miyun. Beis Shammai is they're always very restrictive with a few exceptions, you know, in Shas. But Beis Shammai says that you need a beis din for miyun. Beis Hillel says Beis Mifnei beis din, Mishalfei beis din. Really, all you need for miyun really is proof, or some, if even that. So not so different. Right, Sam.
I thought like this the miyun with the katana is the machleya way.
Yes, miyun means that miyun is not. She's not a grusha. She's never married.
But never. Like Gaia, would you say the same thing? That's the machreya, or no? Then they dissolve the marriage.
No. I agree. I think you're correct in that case. We would say that if a Gaia is bizana and then she does miyun, that she's not liable for capital punishment. Agree. But I'm saying the concept that miyun can dissolve. I don't know. Is miyun actually retroactive?
You're not. I don't
know why.
I don't know if that's true. I don't think that's true. I mean, I'm trying to think of even in the sugya senior vemas that we've just been looking at quickly. Is there any evidence that miyun is lamafreya? There is, in a very weird sense, in an extreme sense, but I don't know if that it's lamafreya as opposed to. No, that's not proof that it's lamafreya. No, I don't know that there's any evidence that miyun is lamafreya. I don't think so. I'm not going to tell you for sure or not, but I don't. I don't think anything the Gemara suggests in that parak would suggest that it's lamafreya. Okay. So anyway, so we have a concept of miyun. Now, why can't you do miyun once she becomes a gedola? So the Gemara has a Shaila. I think it's today's daf or yesterday's daf. The Gemara or tomorrow's. I don't remember where it is. The Shaila, it's a machlokas, it appears Rav. Well, no, it's an Ibaye within Rav, I think. When a girl becomes a Nara, and we say that the miyun, that the marriage is now real, do you need to have Bia or not? One Shita, one way of viewing it, is that basically Kiddushe miyun is like Kiddushin ala Tanai. And if she reaches the age of godless and she's not mema'enes, the kiddushin rachal. That's a very big chiddush. I don't think that's the tzad the Gemara comes down on, because that assumes that ma'isa katana, you know, even though it's not chal, you can have a ma'isa, which is not our topic right now, but that's very interesting in its own right. The alternative is that no, that really in order to be, one makes it a marriage and makes me truly impossible when she reaches the age of becoming a nara, is that hideh bia. And when you have that bia, what do you have to assume about that bia? Right, and what is that? There is a I don't know whether we're going to talk about it or not. We have some opportunities in the sugya to branch out a little bit into some major contemporary issues of Kiddushin and Aguna. But one of the questions that comes up, one of the issues that was discussed, was the question of Kiddushin al Tanai. Let's see, there's one of the suggestions that was made by some, not a very good suggestion perhaps, but maybe the way to solve the Aguna problem is to have Kiddushin al Tanai. So why does Kiddushin al Tanai not work? Well, Kiddushin al Tanai does work, but the problem is Nisun al Tanai doesn't work so well. So the Gemara has the following machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. Supposedly a man is mekadesh a woman on the condition of menashe ein ba mumen. She has no mumen. And then he has Kiddushin. And then he has Ibiya with her. He has Nisun. And then discovers that she has mumen. But when he had the Bia, when he had the Nisun and had the Bia, he didn't repeat the stipulation. He did Kiddushin al Tanai and he did Nisun stam. So what's the din? Does she require a get or not? See, if he just made the Kiddushin al Tanai and they didn't have Nisuin or Bia, and then he discovers the Mumin, she doesn't require a get. Why? Because it was Kiddushin al Tanai, the Tanai wasn't fulfilled, the Kiddushin are not Chal. But what happens if you have Nisuin? So Rav says, very bad, this is a major, one piece of, one idea that you should just put away, file away, because it's a good, very important thing to know, because if ever you hear any discussions about this, you should be aware of this. Rav says that Kiddusha al Tanai uknasa stam, she needs a get. Why? Because Rav says the fact that he didn't repeat the Tanai, means, and Chazaka in Adam Osa Bilasa Bilasnos, he was Mochal on the Tanai. In other words, the only way, according to Rav, and this is the major obstacle, to have Nisuin ala Tanai, the only way to use this, if you want to call it, let's say, solve the contemporary Aguna problem, is that every time a husband and wife have Bia, they have to re-stipulate the Tanai.
Every time?
Yes. Time? It would seem to be every time. Because with the chazaka, if you don't repeat the tanai, at that point there's a chazaka that you mocha on the tanai. It would not be, as you can imagine, a very romantic solution. Yes.
How would that help the
guno that are guno? Oh, no. There is little that helps those who are. Most discussions entail, almost all discussions entail turning the spigot off. Right. That's
krina.
Correct. Krina doesn't solve existing cases; it prevents future cases. Vaccine is the appropriate terminology. So Shmuel, however, says no, and this is the relevance here. Shmuel says that no, kitsha al tanai uknasa stam doesn't require a get. Why not? What is Shmuel's principle? Because kolaboel al daski kiddushin arishonim hu boel. In other words, al smach the original kiddushin. Which would mean the same thing would be true by Mima'enes. In other words, if that were, if you take that machlokas and you apply it, the machlokas by regular marriage, and you apply it by Mima'enes, while it's possible to distinguish between the cases, as the Gemara points out, in principle, if you makadesh a girl when she's a katana, and then you have a bia when she turns into a nara, where theoretically you could have kiddusha now, right? Because she's a basdash, she's 12 years and a day. So the halacha is, Pashrus is the same machloka should apply. Are the kiddushin daraisana? If you hold like Rav, then the answer is the kiddushin are kiddushin daraisa. Why? Because he knows that the kiddushin katana weren't real, and therefore now he chooses to make this real kiddushin. And Shmuel would say kolaboel adas kiddushin arishonim uboel, and therefore this is not a maisa kiddushin. This is just an act of bia. The original kiddushin are only drabanan, so they're only married drabanan. When you see Tosfos. The last question in Hamama Enes, Tosus is very well aware of this particular issue, but you should be aware of that piece of background information. The Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, the usual assumption is that when you have Bia the first time after she reaches the age of Gadlus, if she's a Nara, at that point, the Kiddushin become Doraisa, because that act of Bia constitutes Kiddushin Doraisa. Period. So, anyway, the bottom line is in Hamama Enes, can be Mima'enes until at least everybody agrees until she becomes a Nara, which we'll talk about in a moment. What does it mean to become a Nara? However, once she becomes a Nara, Miyun is not a possibility anymore. There's a whole question, does it matter whether she had Bia or not? You know, that's the discussion that comes up in the Gemara. Daniel?
Even if she does have Bia, doesn't, I don't know if it's Rabbah in the beginning of the Masech, I think it's the third or fourth daf, when he's speaking about the Argunot, where the husband gave the get, Al Tanai, the 30 day, or Al Tanai, the 12 Chadashim,
And then Rav says that even if an obstacle came in his way, and technically the get is not a deoraita, he says because now that all marriages are, was it on Kadas, Moshe Be Yisrael, therefore...
So the answer, I'll answer that question in a very simple fashion for the moment. If the kind of Tanai is a Tanai that you don't have to state in the first place, then you probably don't have to state that Tanai by Nisuin either. In other words, to Lamashal, Kiddushei Ta'us, which is a very radical concept, Mekav Ta'us is not a radical concept, but Kiddushei Ta'us, its application is not a simple one. But assuming that Poskim do have, in some cases, Kiddushei Ta'us, you could ask, well, why don't we say that you can have Kiddushei Ta'us, but once you have Nisuin, it doesn't matter. So the answer is because Kiddushei Ta'us, Ta'us really is a form of Tanai. I'm not saying they're identical, but in principle, a Ta'us is when you marry a woman, there's an assumption. There's something you're getting certain things, both parties are getting certain things. And if one party is not delivering the goods, so basically it's a failure to fulfill understood Tanai, which don't have to be spelled out. A man marries a woman, Ramosha would have given this example, and it turns out he's already has a past of a practicing homosexual. So the assumption is that almost no woman would want to marry such a person. And therefore, but she didn't say at the time of the marriage, the Kiddushin or the Nisuin, Almanas, that you're not homosexual. The answer is you don't have to say it. And if you don't have to say it by Kiddushin, the silence by Nisuin is not evidence of Mechila, right? It's evidence. It's the same thing, just like you don't have to say it by Kiddushin, you don't have to say it by Nisuin. We do tell people that if a woman finds out about a mum, or would you true the other way, but it's not such a problem the other way, that the husband can always just give a get, and it's not such a big deal if she doesn't want to take you to write a heck of a rabbanim. But we do tell if a woman discovers all of a sudden that her husband is X, Y, and Z, and it's always been there, we tell him, her, that you immediately separate from him. You don't continue to sleep with him. You continue to sleep with him. At that point, with the absence of stipulating or some type of condition, means that you do kiddushin, and the bia becomes an act of kiddushin, and therefore, chazaka and sabilas, she didn't say so. I mean, again, it's crazy. A woman discovers X, Y, and Z about her husband. So the next night he wants to sleep with us. She'll say, okay, well, I'm sleeping with you, but understand that this is not for the purpose of Kiddushin. This is all of tonight. That everything works out, we're not married. It's not going to happen. Presumably, she finds that the last thing that what she wants to do is sleep with him. True. But you have a case where a man beats his wife. Now, beating one's wife does not make it Kiddushin Ta'us. But if he was married twice before, and he beat those wives as well, that probably could potentially constitute a form of Kiddushin Ta'us. Right, so there, unfortunately, Ma'isim B'chol Yom is that women who are beaten stay with the husband. So the problem there is that if you don't stop immediately, right, if you don't stop immediately, then it's possible that the grounds for Ta'us are lost because it's like a Tanai that you're now Mochalok. Right? I'm not saying it's Pashut, it's not Pashut, but that's the principle involved. Okay, so anyway, so that, yes, Alex?
Sorry, so with regards to the Mechol Yisrael, that means that there's according to one of them, Rabbi Yehuda, they believe Rabbi Yehuda because they would hold that right. The Nara can also,
So right now I'm talking on a Daraisa level. Everybody I think agree. Leaving aside that Havamina, which I think is rejected in the 13th Parakei Bamos, I think we assume that when you have Kiddushei Miun and the Nara hasn't done Miun, if she turns into an Ara, but there's no contact between them, probably they're not Torah. There's no basis. It's almost, again, aside from that funny possibility, which I don't think is accepted, on what basis could they be married to not Torah? Right? Because the original Kiddushin can't be a Kiddushin, she's a Tana. There's no Bia, there's no Kesef, there's no Shtar now. So on what basis would you say that they're really married to not Torah? Unless, again, you say, that no, that the original Kiddushin are Tluyim, which is a very, very big fish. A very big fish. Okay. So that's Mima'enes. So the din is that a Mima'enes ain la lopitoi velo knas. Why? Don't answer that question. That's the major thing we're going to actually focus on the Sugya, not today, but in a couple of days when we get there. This is the big question we've shown him. There are two questions that Mima'enes raises. One is what the Gemara discusses, and one is what the Rishonim discuss. The Gemara is preoccupied with a technical detail. What's the Gemara's technical detail it's preoccupied with?
She's a katana.
And a katana, according to Rabbi Meir, has no knas anyway. Who cares whether she's Mima'enes or not? Now, so then the Gemara, now that in itself is not a problem. What's the simple answer to that question?
It's
the Rabbana, not Rabbi Meir. The only problem is that raises a different problem, which is the second half of the Raisa, the third part of the Raisa, is going to say, I notice which, as we'll explain in a few minutes, only makes sense for Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara is preoccupied with the technical question of the ages of Ma'enes versus Knas, and what is the overlap, and so on. But once you work that detail out, let's work it out in the simplest possible fashion, which is the way the Ramban claims the Rif Paskins, which is this Brisa, the din is against Rabbi Meir. The din is against Rabbi Meir, meaning Ketana Yesh Laknas. That's not so complicated. In which case, what's the din by Mima'enes? So the assumption still will be, well, depends on the scenario, but it may be Mima'enes. Let's say for the moment, Ma'enes Ein Laknas. In other words, the ratio of the Brisa is Aliba Dachachonim, and Ma'enes Ein Laknas. Why not?
Isn't she married?
Ah, so that's exactly the question. So Rashi says, b'cheskes p'uma. And that's what's going to become the whole discussion. Right? So let me ask you a question. What did this Mama Ennis do? Did she have a chuppah with her husband? What?
No.
If she did,
she was just given
Shita. Yeah. Of course she has no kanas. She assumes she's a p'ula. If she didn't, then why in fact, if she's Mama Ennis, why in fact does she not get a kanas? The Mama Ennis is not a woman. This goes back to Sam's point. And Ennis, this might be the proof, by the way, that it's a little bit mafre, maybe from our sugya. Ennis is not considered to be a woman who was nisarsa.
She's able to marry a
kohen,
right?
She can. That's black and white. But that's for a different reason. Why can a Mama Ennis marry? Why can't she marry a kohen?
She's not a grusha,
and she's not married.
What about
she doesn't have to be a psula. Mishnah says beferish that a Mema'enes, a husband who marries a katana. This is the Mishnah on today's or tomorrow's daf. I don't remember which I was doing. Where it is? The Mishnah says that when you have a katana, you can break up the marriage. A katana where the father was not alive or was yisoma b'chayav. I have to explain that in a moment. I mean, some of you know what it is. I just want to explain what yisoma b'chayav is in a moment. But when you have, let's say, the father was dead, and the mother or brother marries her off, there are two ways to dissolve that marriage. She can do miyun, or the husband can write her get. So the Mishnah says that if the husband writes her get, so she is asura b'krovav, and he's asura b'krovosav. It's like they were married and divorced. If, however, she does miyun, then he can marry her relatives, she can marry his relatives. So when it comes to a kohen, if she's not a grusha and she's not married, it's not a problem. And in fact, if they only had erusin through this, meaning they never had a chuppah, I'd imagine she could even marry Kohen Gadol. Because she's not an almana, she's not a grusha, and she's a psula, so why not? We can have a lot of fun trivia questions with this. How is it possible? What is the Yisoma B'chaya Av? I should have explained that. It seems to be a contradiction in terms. A girl who is an orphan in the lifetime of her father. So, of course, the simple answer, but that's not the answer. See, there's an old joke. It probably doesn't hold standing with you. You know, the line is, a man and his son are in a horrible car crash. Okay, the man dies upon impact. The son is brought to the emergency room. Surgeon walks in and says, "I cannot operate on this patient. He's my son." So, what's going on? So you know the answer to the question, of course. It's like this is probably a generational joke. The answer to the question is
the surgeon's the mother,
right? Right. 50 years ago, maybe you could have, even 30 years ago, maybe it would have it could have caught you off guard. Right, so you said answer. Yisom l'chayav means the mother's dead. Right, now, so that's not the answer. Yisom l'chayav means she's yisom from the father, even though the father's alive. How so? Because the father has the power and authority to marry off his daughter, to accept kiddushin, and then to be ma'asihar. That works minatora. If you have such a kiddushin of the raisa, in order for her to remarry, the husband must die or give her a gift. However, if the father marries her off once with full nisuin, it's not enough to have erusin. Full nisuin, and then the husband divorces her, or he dies, she is now what's called, and if she's still a katana, she's what's called the Yisoma B'chaye Ha'ab. She cannot have Kiddushin Daraisa at this point. Why? Because her father no longer has dominion over her, because she was Yotzeis Mirshuso through Nisuin. She can't marry herself off the Natora because she's still a katana, so she has no das. She was able to be divorced either by the father being mekabel the get, that's complicated, or just because you don't require das of the woman for gerushin, and therefore she can be in the gereshes. But she cannot remarry min haTorah. She can remarry midrabanan. So the scenarios in which you have kiddushin miyun are either yisoma b'chaya av or yisoma mamish, where she or her brother or mother, you know, arrange for her to be married off. And so that's what yisoma b'chaya av is. Yes? It's going to come up in that Tosos as well. Moshe?
Yeah, is it possible, according to Rashi's interpretation, that she was Mima Enes while she was a Ketana, but now she's a Nara?
That scenario is a possibility.
But that would answer the question of the Gemara.
That's what Tosus asks against Rashi, yes. Very good. Very, very good. That's exactly the kasha Tosus asks against Rashi. Why was the Gemara bothered by it? If the whole issue is that a Mima Enes doesn't have a Cheskas Pesula, because presumably she was Neveles, you could have a girl who was a Mima Enes when she was a Katana, now she's a Nara, and the reason why, Ein Lo Knas Lo Pitui, it's not, even Rabbi Meir could have, if it weren't for the Miun, the Chazaka that she was Neveles, then she would have a Knas now, according to Rabbi Meir, she's a Nara. Correct. That's exactly Tosis' kasha, Rashi. Excellent. Okay. See? All you do, if you read the Gemara carefully, think through, and you have all basic information, you should be able to ask all the kashas in the Rishon.
If she was a Nara at that point, then...
A Nara at which point?
When she was Ma'enes.
But the problem is, at first glance, you can't have such a thing. It's a Sira, but Minir Bay.
Okay, but according to what we just said, it still would make sense that she'd get a kasha, because then... By the time she was a Nara, the Nisuin would have happened.
No.
You haven't had Bia yet.
The entire discussion in the Gemara about Rabbi Yehuda, Chiyar Shachar, or Al, whatever the gear says, it's all predicated upon an assumption that there was no Bia. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. Tosis is forced into saying something funny at the end of Dibur Maschil Ma'enes. So Tosis is going to suggest if you had a Bia, it was Shalom L'Shem Kiddushin explicitly. He said Beferish is not L'Shem Kiddushin. Okay, fine. So that is Mima Enes. So we're going to, those are the two questions. Number one, why is Mima Enes, whatever age she's at, why is Mima Enes in Loknas? And number two, what age is she? Because whose Shita is this Brisa? Next, third clause in the Brisa.
Islanit in Loknas Lopito.
Okay, Vos is an islandus. That's why I asked you, we're going to look at the Rambam. I think I indicated in the email that I wasn't interested in being mamic in every detail in the Rambam. I just wanted to give you a general sense. So we'll read it in a few minutes, but hopefully. But what is an islandus?
Someone who's reached the age of 12 but hasn't exhibited Shtesaros and but hasn't really exhibited any real signs of islandus yet.
So you're jumping, you're six steps ahead. An Ilonis is a woman with some type of presumably genetic issue who never goes through puberty, basically. And the short version, we'll look at the Rambam just because he gives you a lot of details, most of which are agreed upon by everybody, but a quick overview. But basically an Ilonis, in short version, is that when a girl becomes age 12 years and a day, if she has Shtesaros, then she is now what's called a Nara for 6 months. If she brings Shtesaros when she's 13 in a day, she becomes a Nara then and starts 6 months then. After the 6 months have passed from the time she became a Nara, she is now a Bogeres. When she's a Katana, only, let's say, her father can marry her off in the Torah. When she's a Nara, the father can marry her off, or if he's not alive, she can marry herself off in the Torah. Once she's a Bogeres, she's Bishrus Atzma, the father has no control whatsoever, she marries herself off. An Ilonis never gets to that stage of Nara. There is no stage of Nara by an Ilonis. An Ilonis, if she reaches the age of 12 years in a day and she has no simonim, none of the simonim of puberty that mark her as a Nara. So then we wait and we watch. And then we wait till she's like age 18 or 20, achlokas. And by that point, if she has not brought simonim of puberty, but she has exhibited simonim of an Ilonis, and there are specific simonim, so then we say that she is now a gedola. She is bat mitzvah at 18 or 20. Let's just say 20 for the moment. She is bat mitzvah at 20. She's a gedola then. She goes straight from the category of katana to ilonis, or if you want to call that a bogeres. She is never a nara. An ilonis is not just a woman who is infertile. A lot of women have issues with fertility. Sometimes they can be hormonal issues. An ilonis seems to be most women who are infertile. You couldn't, most of the time, you could look at 100 women and you couldn't tell which ones, just looking at them or listening to them and talking to them, which would be fertile. But there are women who you could look at and say, oh, something is amiss here, right? Sometimes there are genetic anomalies, sometimes you get women who are XYs, but never developed male secondary sexual characteristics. There are probably all sorts of conditions. And idleness, idleness is like totally mufkam in the parsha. In Chazal's terminology, or in their worldview, there's a difference between an akara and idleness. An idleness is actually discussed as a possibility there being the only case of kiddushei tos that is discussed in the Gemara ever, that would suggest that kiddushei tos doesn't require a get is idleness. We wouldn't say that by akara. I don't think we say that by akara. In other words, in akara, sometimes a woman has, I don't know what poskim would say today, but I think it's pretty clear. A woman might have issues that maybe were always there of infertility, but we had no way of knowing, didn't know about it. So the assumption is that that's not called kiddushei tos, because there are lots of things in life you never know what's going to come your way. But idleness is really bichlal different. And kiddushei tos, by the way, does not have to be when you deceive someone. Both parties can be acting in good faith. But if there's an unknown undisclosed defect that is present already at the time of the transaction, that's usually grounds for kiddushei tos. They never talk about akara as such. They talk about idleness as such.
Would other illnesses?
Well, usually that's a case of it might. In other words, if it's undisclosed. But in other words, because you had the flu once, that's something you have to tell your people when you get married.
You didn't know you had cancer or HIV positive.
So the answer is that if that fact can be established as having been there at the time of the marriage, it's grounds. If it fits the general paradigm of kiddushei tos, that you know that no woman would have undertaken such a marriage, the answer is yes. You know, when you think, I mean, this is really a kiddushei tos point, but you talk about something like cancer, there are a lot of people, it goes both women and men, who marry knowing the spouse has cancer. Right? So that becomes a problem of arguing kiddushei tos and not mandating a get. Because in order to constitute kiddushei tos, it has to be dvarim shevelibo lev kodem. It has to be mokorach that you wouldn't have married otherwise. But if there's a real possibility that you would have married anyway, that's the chazaka of what tav lemesav tandu actually means, not the way it's often constructed. So, but if it's something that's clear no woman would have married, and it's present, even though he didn't know about it, that could be kiddushei tos. Because kiddushei tos is not just about moral turpitude, that I concealed something. Kiddushei tos really could be even when neither party knew about it, but it has to be demonstrated it's present. If a person gets, you know, Rahman al-Tzlan cancer or some other condition a year after they got married, you never really know when it started and whether it would have developed. But if the man, the day after the wedding, wakes up, you know, blurry vision, they go to the emergency room and he's got a tumor in his brain, you know, the size of an apple, then that, some of that didn't happen over the course of the last night. Okay, there's actually Gemara Tosis at the end on the bottom of Lamed Lamed Aleph that we're going to look at that talks about this issue based upon a Gemara later on Daf Ayin He, Daf Ayin Vav, where the issue of that's where Kedusha Tos comes in actually. Okay, so that's an idleness. So an idleness, for the moment we're assuming it's not Kedusha Tos, either because it's not Kedusha Tos or because he knew she was an idleness. That's when it comes to marriage. By Knas, obviously it's not a question of knowledge or not. An idleness is a woman. The Brisa says an idleness has no knas, has no pithud. Why not? Danny, I'm sorry, your question.
Yeah, I was going to ask you a question. Go
ahead.
To what extent is an idleness considered a katana?
So what extent is an idleness considered a katana? If she has no simanim, let me just finish the thought. Up until age 20, an idleness is a katana mamish. If she reaches age 20 and hasn't brought either simanim of naros, normal simanim of puberty, or simanim of idleness, she remains in limbo until age 35, or until she brings one of those simanim. Chatzi shnos of shalagam. What?
She's a katana until
she's a katana. Yes.
She can't have a kinyan or anything like that.
But to the extent that katanim have or katanos have no kinyan, yes, to that extent there is a din of a putos by metalkalin certainly, but yes, she has technically she has the din of a katana.
Are there a KJ mitzvahs
like that of a katana?
Why don't they like that of a katana?
So when it comes to we say that a
see your question, yeah.
So we say that there's no din of pitui by a katana.
Correct. No din of pitui by an idleness.
Does anyone disagree that about the katana to the bogeris change?
That she goes directly?
Not that I know of.
I don't think the Gemara ever discusses these questions about. You're asking a good question. She's 30 years old. You know, she's a Wall Street executive, but you're going to say, you know, she went to Yeshiva College, of course, then she went to business school, you know, at Harvard, got her MBA. You know, she's the head of, I don't know, Goldman Sachs. She's a partner of Goldman Sachs. You say, no, but you know what? She's technically an idleness, and therefore.
So she's not responsible for what they did.
Yeah, that's right. that doesn't it doesn't make any sense. I don't know what the you know, I'm only answering the question she's a katana, because to the best of my knowledge, that the you know Chazal and then the Rambam, I don't think they ever talk about that issue. I'm willing to bet you, some if one of you has a Bar Ilan handy, go to the Rambam's last four svarim, you know, go through Kinyan, Nezikin, and Mishpatim, okay, or Shof, which is the third, which is the last one, Mishpatim or Shoftim. The last one showed them. So I think it's Mishpatim, Kinyan, Nezikin, and search Ilonis there. See if the link is even mentioned there. I would be very shocked if it's mentioned. And certainly, I've been absolute shocked if anybody says, "Well, the Kinyan and Ilonis is strange." I don't know why that should be. I don't know why, but okay. So Danny, have answered the question?
I think so.
Okay. I mean, I like my own answer, but I think they. Okay. Fine. Last case in the Brisa. Go ahead.
Can I just ask?
So
when we say Ilonis in Bakanas, that means we're talking. If you are Ones, or I guess you can't even fought to someone, she's 16 years old and hasn't brought any simanim yet, you would pay Knas for Ones. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're talking about someone who's either brought simanim to Ilonis or is older than 35 and hasn't brought
Ones. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
There's no mention of Ilonis.
What?
There's no mention of Ilonis outside of Nashe, except for Greek things and other mitzvahs. And those are just like.
There's nothing in Tehiyah Shofar? Megillah? It comes up in Chazal, it comes up there. Anyway, those are that's determining whether a woman is an Isha or an Isha, almost by definition, with the exception of whether or not you can be a Dayan or not, which I don't think Ilonis has ever discussed. But if you're a Dayan, there's no difference between a man and a woman in Hilchos, in Nezikin, in Dine Mamonos. Okay, so I'm not, again. It's strange. It's really, really odd. But I don't know what the answer is. Okay, go ahead. Okay, so this one the Gemara will discuss on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and this is odd as well because Hayotzeh Mishum Shemra. You know, in a sense, what's the chiddush here? She was married. Why did the husband divorce her? Right, either that or. Even Yotzei Mishum Shemra, also the case Yotzei Mishum Shemra is cases in Gittin in the fourth parak, and it means that they're married, and then he hears rumors that she's cavorting with men, and he decides to divorce her. And the typical case doesn't have the Aiden that she committed adultery, but doesn't want to be married to this woman. Motzias Ishto Mishum Shemra. It's a little odd, why would you have thought that she gets a knas? Why would you have thought that she's becheskes pesul? So the Gemara will talk about that.
Does it have to be something that she's done during the marriage, or could it be something that she's done prior to the marriage?
Well, for this sugya's purposes, it doesn't really matter.
But he has the rights to divorce.
Well, you can always divorce.
I don't mean to divorce, but let's say Mishum Shemra. If she's done something in the past before the marriage, she was very promiscuous or whatever it is. Therefore, I'm going to exit the marriage.
Well, he can always divorce her. The question is, if she was becheskas pesula, then he's entitled to divorce her, not pay her ksuba. If she wasn't becheskas pesula, it's not clear that alpidin she's mechuyevis to reveal her entire history. If she comes in free of disease and he knows she's not a pesula. Not clear, then unless he explicitly stipulates that he get you know that she's mechuyev to reveal her entire history to him. You know, at least certainly. Let me phrase that. From an ethical perspective, maybe she should be at least a little bit forthcoming. From a din of his being able to claim, I don't have to pay her ksuba. If we say ein lo tainis pesulin because she's not becheskes pesula, it means that it's too bad. If he discovers that she had 20 boyfriends that she slept with before they were married, he can choose to divorce her, but he'll have to pay the ksuba. Whereas if she was becheskes pesula, and then it doesn't matter even if she had one boyfriend that she slept with, she would forfeit the ksuba because it's a mekach taos. Right? Kanasa becheskes pesula when they say beula, so she forfeits her ksuba. Meaning he can choose to be married, he can choose to remain to be married to her if he wants, but if he wants to divorce her right now, we usually would require just have a get, at least l'chomra, if not medina, but he wouldn't have to pay a ksuba. Okay, so that is, that's the, four cases of the Brisa. The Brisa says Ein la knas velo pitoy. Okay, there's no din of ones or mefata. Number one, by Arayis and Shneos, number two by Mimaenis, number three by Eilis, and number four by Yotzeis Mishum Shemra. Let's take a very quick look at the Rambam. Just I wanted to read the definitions of Ishos Beis Halacha Aleph. Thank you very much, Adin, for reading. Danny, go ahead.
Habat miyom leidatza ad shetichia bat shnei masrei shana murot ki ani kreitet kana v'ani kreitet tinoket v'apilu hivya kama sarot petoch hazman hazeh inan ela ke
shuma. Shuma is like a wart, meaning if a girl has, you know, hairs shtei saras before she reaches the age of 12 years and a day, they're treated only like a shuma, and a shuma is not real hair. Now there is actually a problem here which I think we ignore. But if that hair remains there even after she then reaches 12 years in a day, that hair doesn't count. The hair doesn't count. It shouldn't, which is a problem because today it's pretty common for boys and girls, before they reach the official age of 12 years or 13 years in a day, that they already have many saros. It may not be everybody, but it's pretty common. It's pretty standard. Some of that may have to do with better nutrition so that people undergo puberty earlier. It's not necessarily a good thing, but just as a fact. And as such, those hairs should never count, which is very complicated, because if that's the case, then those hairs don't count even after they reach the age of bar or bat mitzvah. Then when do they really have shtei saros? I think that lemaisa, there's another problem that goes with this as well. And those,
is there a modern issue that requires saros versus katanas?
Yeah, there is for let's say reading Parsha Zachor. A bar mitzvah boy. Now, don't forget bat, but bar mitzvah. And there are all sorts of, both of them, and there's the same issue. One of the problems is that from a scientific perspective, it's incorrect. Meaning, those hairs that come in before the Gemara in the end says you need both shanim and simanim. In order for someone to be a gadol or gadola, you have to have both the age, and minimum age, and the simanim. Right now, it wouldn't be so much of a problem if you were to acknowledge that you can have simana before, but they don't count. But what the Gemara really sounds like, what it says by saros, is that hairs that grow before are not simanim; they're shuma. There's a big problem with this. The problem is that this one thing the Gemara says is the equivalent of simanim, even though it's not hair, and it's automatic. You know what that is? Bonim hareim kisimanim. And the problem is, we know factually speaking, unfortunately, that there are girls below the age of 12 years and a day who give birth. It is not an occurrence that you hear about ever or typically or commonly, maybe never, I don't know, in our community. But unfortunately, you go to parts of the inner city and you have these horrible cases of girls. You've had cases of girls in 10 and 11 years old who give birth. Now, what the Gemara would say there, I don't know. Right? That was not a common, the Gemara has a discussion of the Ketanimu about Uberes, about the Gimel Nasha Misham Shas Bamo, where the Gemara assumes it's possible for Ketana to be pregnant, but not to give birth. If she gives birth, then that's a simon that she's a gadola. So what they would do there, I don't know. No. The Gemara says, Bonarek Simon, the assumption that a Ketana wouldn't survive, the pregnancy would kill her. Again, these are not true today, certainly in Metzias. It would have been very rare in the times of the Gemara because of given nutrition and other factors, the age of menarche was generally was a few years later than it is today, the average age. So it would have been a rare occurrence. Today, unfortunately, it's not a rare enough occurrence. You know, so I think that today we assume that the saros that come before a person reaches the age of godless, we don't treat them as a shuma. We assume, I think the bottom line, the way we handle things, is that you require shanim v'simanim, but if you have a normal hair beforehand, once you reach the age, then the person is a godless. The biggest nafkamina case typically is the Parsha Zachor. No one ever says, and I conceptually also don't understand what they're thinking. I don't think the assumption is that you have a katan who's aged 12 years, 53 days or whatever it is. He has no saros. Tomorrow, one day passes and all the saros come. You know, or two saros all of a sudden come. It's a strange, I don't know how you work that. Lamaisa, we assume that if it's normal hair, it's normal hair. And once they reach the age of 13 or 12 years a day, 13 years a day, we accept that.
Are there parts of the Gemara that take the Kishuma seriously?
It sounds from the Gemara like it's real.
Like,
it should be a nida, I think. Just look in those that came on the Rambam here. I think it's a nida, and I think it's called Perek Bar Simon. The makor for most of these dinim of the Rambam is a nida. Round daf, they're early daf mems.
Do we not just assume though that now any boy who's 13 years old is an adult?
I think we normal under normal circumstances we assume. Sometimes they're even showing facial hair. which comes later typically than pubic hair. But again, you should require, you know.
You want to be more Z-standard for kiddish. We don't like making.
Correct. We do not, as a general rule. I'm not familiar with people having any kinds of inspections. The Gemara has such cases. The Gemara recently in Daf has, you know, a question where they wanted to have bedika done to know whether the girl was in fact appropriate age because of chalitza, whatever else it was. So yeah, but I think today we work with the general assumption, unless we have a reason to think otherwise, we accept it. And I while there probably are people machmed at Parshas Zachar, I've been in plenty of bar mitzvahs where the bar mitzvah boy, he's not 13 a day, he's 13 and 3 days. And nobody says, you know, nobody insists upon inspection, you know, to know that he is shtesaris, even if you don't see any facial hair. Okay.
Did they have, like, less hair back then? Like, this was a constant?
No, but they reach puberty later. Because of nutrition and environmental factors. So at a given age, an 11-year-old today probably would have more like, if he has, you know, hair in his private parts, is more like than more hair than an 11-year-old would have in the time of Chazal, if he had any. Okay, the Rambam continues. Go ahead.
Hi. Aval, if he via shtei sa'arot l'mata bagruf ben kamut ha'idu oz l'hava sa'ar, v'hini bad shtei mesre shanav yamachar l'ma'ala, nikret na'ara.
Right, if she brings the sa'arot when she's 12 years in a day or later, now she's a na'ara. Havas, continue.
A
simon atachton is always better than simon elyon in certain respects, I think. Umeachar. 6 months from the time she brings Shtei Saros after 12 years of the day, okay, she's a Nara. Umitchilas. Right, Eimei Naros Labagros El Shishah Halashim Bovad is a statement that Gemara has in Kiddushin in the third parak, I think, in the name of Rav or Shmuel. So, by definition, you can never be an hour more than 6 months. Incidentally, I've only given you the Rambam on girls. Do boys have three? And the next day, would the boys have three stages?
Yes.
Not in the Rambam here, but they do. What are the three stages, Nati? Correct? Yes. In other words, a girl being a Nara has a lot of nafkaminas, as opposed to be a Bogaris. A boy, there's only one nafkamina. He becomes a Na'ar, if you want to call it. They don't use that term. From the time he reaches 13 years in Deha Shtei Saros until Nismali Zalkan Atachton, which is really soon to be like 3 months or something like that. It's a 3 month period, and that's the window for Ben Saramora. He has to be a Bain Samach Le'ish. Right, he can't be a katan because there's no onshin for a katan, but he's a bain suramara, so that's the period. That's conceptually the analog between of a na'ar, if there is no such term, but for a boy. Okay. I believe if you read on in Perek Beis of Ishish, the Rambam doesn't mention a middle stage for a boy because it's not relevant anywhere except for that one case. Okay, the Havas, I'm sorry, you read that, go ahead. Higia. Okay, so once she reaches 12 years in a day, she doesn't have Shtei Saros. Even if you have Simone analyst, she's a Katana till 20. And if she brings Shtei Saros in the interim, then that means she's a regular Nara, not an Ilonis. And no matter when she brings the Shtei Saros, assuming that she's not an island, she's not going to have both at the same time. But as soon as she brings the Shtei Saros, she is now a Nara of 6 months. Okay. Haisa.
I assume that applies even post 20 years old.
Probably, yes. It's only because he wants to go in a different direction that he cuts her off. Go ahead. Haisa. Haisa,
but 20 shana pachot mishloshim yom. Ve'lo hevia Shtei Saros, v'niru vach simanei ailonit, harei hi ailonit.
Right. That's if Yemoshno Seinu Bahem Shivim Shana. Therefore, half a lifespan is 35 years, and thus by age 35, no matter what, a person is a gadol or a gadola. And the analog, by the way, for an islandist by a male is called a sris. Sris there is a Sris Chama, not a Sris Adam. Sris Adam means someone who was normal, but he was castrated or something like that, whereas a Sris Chama is a Sris Chama from birth. Okay.
הגיעה לזמן הזה ולא הביאה שתי שערות, הרי זו נקראת איילונית, אף על פי שלא נראה בה סימן כסימני איילונית.
Put a big colon, semicolon in here, big pause, period. Three periods. This next line is not only relevant to what came right before the Sinai Halacha, but Nimseis, Lamed. So this is the really crucial point for our stuff. There is no phase of Nara for an Eilonis. An Eilonis, whenever she becomes an Eilonis, whether it be at age 20 when she has Simana Eilonis, be at age 35 when she has no Simanim at all, she goes immediately from being legally a minor to being a Bogeris.
Okay?
No, either if she, without any siman,
because he said you count 6 months.
No. If she never brings any siman, either that of normal nara or that of an islandist, she becomes bat mitzvah at age 35, and she becomes a bogeris immediately. There's no 6 month period. If she has simane islandist, she becomes bat mitzvah at 20, and there's no 6 month period. She's immediately a bogeris. So that's the part that's relevant for our gemara, because when the Braisa says that an islandist ein la knas, that would seem to be only because of Rabbi Meir. Namely, that a katana has no knas. And as Rabbi Meir says, everybody agrees that Bogeris has no knas. And everybody agrees that a nara has knas. But a katana is the machlokas. And if you say an islandess has no knas, presumably the reason is because she's never a nara. She's only a katana, which means it's shitas Rabbi Meir.
Can you marry an
islandess? Yes. Yes. You see in the first mission, Yevamos, you absolutely can. If it's unknown, it might constitute grounds for kedusha tos later. Right? That's if she's, the Mishnah says, Nimseis Eilonis. Turns out she is. Rabbi Meir, by the way, there's a famous position of Rabbi Meir in Shas known as Chayshinan Lemiuta. Rabbi Meir never actually says Chayshinan Lemiuta. That conceptualization of Rabbi Meir is based upon one particular din Rabbi Meir stated. Rabbi Meir stated that a katana is not allowed to do yibum, and a katan is not allowed to do yibum, even though Minat Torah they could. A katana certainly, if a man's brother is married to a katana, her father marries her off to his brother. She's married midaraisa to his brother. His brother drops dead without any children. He can add the yibam midaraisa. Meir says you're not allowed to do yibam. You know why? A gezeira, maybe she'll turn out to be an islandess. If she's an islandess, she is an erev aveshasach, but there's no heter of yibam whatsoever. So you certainly can marry her. It just might be that if he claims that he would never have married her otherwise had he known she was an islandess, and he didn't know and she didn't know, because when she's a katana, there's no way of knowing whether she's going to be an islandess. Then it might, but it, that you could have kiddushei tos. But once you assume that there's no kiddushei tos, then she is married midah oraisa. She is married midah oraisa. There is a shita, Rabbi Huda, in Mishnah Yevamos in the sixth parak, I think, parak Abal Yevimto, says that a kohen hedyot is not allowed to marry an islandess. Zohi zona ha'amura b'torah. But the chacham say not true. You're only not allowed to marry an islandess if you haven't fulfilled puravu yet. But even a kohen could marry an islandess, except for Rabbi Huda.
Israel can't marry an islandess.
Well, yeah, because then he's not going to fulfill Puruvu.
So if you wouldn't be able to know someone to be in the Kara.
Correct. To Bizmana said we do things differently anyway. Now, this Medina de Gemara, Medina de Shulchan Aruch, a man's wife hasn't given birth for 10 years. He's been married to her, and after Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, he can't marry another wife. We force him to divorce her, assuming that we know it's from her, not he's not the problem. But we don't do that anymore. We're very makel on certain aspects of Nisuin, you know, that with the Alpidina, the Gemara, and Shulchan Aruch, we should be Kof and Lagarish, which we don't do anymore.
Would the average Orthodox rabbi marry a man to a woman if she's known to be an Akara?
Probably. There are a lot of shuvas about this. The Ramah in Ashkenaz, they took a much more lenient stand. In other words, I can't tell you for sure they would, but probably they went to ask questions. Right? In other words, I'm sure about, if you had a guy who was 40, 50 years old, and he was going to marry a 52-year-old woman. He had never been married before. I don't think any Rav, I doubt you'll hear of a Rav who would not be Masada Kedushin, even though you know by marrying her, he's not going to fulfill Puruvu. Come on, it's impossible. I don't think so. We're much more make on the Zion. Whether we should or shouldn't be, we are. Okay, fine. And then we don't have to read Allah. Chavav, the Rambam lists what are the Siman of Ailness. Now read the Rambam Hilchas Gerushin. That means Minat Torah. Okay, if I know say. If you want to know what that is, that's ratzas.
Yeah.
What's happened to the correct rabbinic Hebrew form of the verb is not biblicized the way many have done it. In other words, we do actually have a few examples. I have only recently in the parasha, but the asas asatua l'shlosh hashanim is the opener, not asas of asas. That form, which is rare in biblical Hebrew, is standard in Mishnah Hebrew. What's happened to most rabbinic texts is that the maskilim took an iron and they ran over everything in rabbinic literature to make it look like biblical Hebrew often.
This isn't past tense.
No, it's past tense.
Nosei minmanes halachas.
No, Hanose, and then what happened is Lo Ratzas Beval. That's a past tense. It is. Anyway, so that's why it's throwing you off. In this text, somebody didn't edit the Rambam, you know, smooth the Rambam over. Why not? Gimurim Kemosh Be'arno. Okay, fine. So that's what that is. Okay. All right, so I think what I'm going to do, not for ordinary reasons, but because it is a broiler in here, I'm going to stop here. I wanted to just discuss one issue, not a full discussion.